All right, guys, welcome back to Yankees Unloaded. I'm Jake Ellenbogen, and he is Gary Sheffield on his iPhone because his
paging in from Mars with Elon Musk. My MacBook Pro exploded. The screen completely was destroyed. So know this, okay, off rip. This is not what I usually look like on the podcast. This isn't usually what I sound like. Usually this mic is worth a poot, but obviously I can't plug it in because my MacBook exploded. So just know I'm a complimentary piece. I am the Gleyber Torres of this show today.
But you're also on a delay. So that is also perfect because Gleyber Torres, his season breakout was very delayed. I mean, it took until August.
Yes, that is accurate. And so I just hope everybody is patient and can bear with me because obviously we want to put on a good show. And right now this is the only option we've got. So we've got some good topics. Obviously we got Garrett Cole and this whole debacle of intentionally walking Devers. Like, we're going to talk about all that, but Jake, I think we wanted to get to mailbag first, right?
Mailbag. Yep. Before we do, be sure to like, subscribe, and comment. Also, be sure to follow me on all social media at JK Bogan, including Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. Follow Gary Sheffield Jr. on everything as well. We have a Discord channel that you definitely need to check out. It is free. The link is in the description in the comment section below, as well as the link to audio if you want to listen to us on audio. What I mean by audio is all podcast platforms, you know, all that good stuff. You can subscribe there. And I think I got to everything. Also, if you want to become a member, link is in the description in the comment section below, as well as hitting the join button could help you achieve that. So now that we have that mailbag, then we'll do field level shout outs. By the way, field level, you do get a shout out, members. Mailbag, we have it from Ed W. Okay. So Ed W says, the goat, the back end of the Yankees bullpen looks really interesting. Do Meza and Hill make the postseason roster? Also, Verdugo's walk-up music is starting to remind me of a dying cat. Who do I contact to change the channel?
You just got to use the mute button, my friend. I think the mute button is becoming pretty popular these days with baseball broadcasts, especially with all the broadcasts juggling around between Apple TV, right? And we're used to Yes Network. We're used to hearing Michael Kay's voice, right? And when you don't get that, and then plus you hear some bad walk-up music, well, the mute button will suffice. It just will. Throw on some music, throw on Yankees Unloaded, right?
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. So there's nothing that you can do to mute out, I guess, bad walk-up songs. I think the only thing we can do is ask for Alex Verdugo not to play, but Verdugo's been playing a little bit better of late, obviously not as well as what we'd like. But having said that, I don't know, Jake, what are you feeling?
Well, I had to go to a concert today just to rid myself of whatever the hell today was. I thought going into it, as you know, I'll be the first one to admit when I'm wrong. And I had Garrett Cole going for, I think, 7 1/3 and only giving up one run, and the Yankees win 3-1. I had Bello going 6 2/3, I think, and he ended up going, or I had him going 6 1/3. He went 5 1/3, four hits. Bayo.
Yeah, I heard it's Bayo, by the way. I didn't know this until today. I guess I would kind of assume it, but we went with Bello to be safe. I guess it's Bayo. But yeah, the Yankees, we didn't hit, obviously, and it put a ton of pressure on Garrett Cole, which when we were making predictions, I know you were a lot more optimistic about the start. I think you mentioned he would go 7 innings and give up one, I believe.
Yeah.
And that's obviously a very successful start given his history against Boston and given that short-term, I should say long-term history with Rafael Devers. He just flat out does not get Devers out, period, right? And this is something that he's aware of. That was the storyline coming into this game. Not necessarily what would he do against Yoshida or anybody else on this roster, right? Or even like a Trevor Story. No. It was what happens when Rafi gets into the batter's box. Is Garrett Cole going to take a step back and say, yes, I usually am Garrett Cole and I step up in these situations and I'm the lion in the Serengeti, right? Or am I going to take a back seat? It seemed like in that moment he took a back seat. And Jake, I just want to say this about that attack from Garrett Cole. When he has nobody on, right, and you're talking about walking a player as an ace of an organization, it does have a certain message. I think there's always a time and a place to walk a player. I don't want to say that it's always a bad thing if you're an ace to walk a guy. I don't believe that. I just don't. I think there's a reason Aaron Boone, because after the game, he mentioned, we talked with Gerrit Cole. We had a game plan. Certain situations, we're going to walk him, right? You've got a base open at first base, similar situations that we've seen from Aaron Judge all year long, right? You can see the situations materialize right before your eyes, and you say they're going to walk him here. And sure enough, they do. But you have nobody on. And to walk Devers there, it sent a message that was very clear to everybody that was at Yankee Stadium, everybody who was watching the game on TV, is that I do not know how to handle this guy. There's nothing I can do with him, and there is no situation where I would go after him. So having said that, I believe what happened with this start today was that Gerrit Cole sent a message that he was weak in that moment, and he lost his confidence. I believe that's why he lost his command, and I think this can be returned. But it's a matter of mentality. You have to have the right guys in your ear to tell you you're still Gerrit Cole. You can still execute pitches against this guy and get him out. But very clearly, that message wasn't sent strong enough from Aaron Boone to get through to Gerrit Cole.
Yeah, man, I'm going to be honest with you. This is what we were talking about yesterday. Okay. And we said, you know, they should intentionally walk Devers. Remember that? We did mention that.
Yes.
So I agreed with it. I think it's kind of a cop-out. I mean, you know, I think that's how people are choosing to use it. I think people are like, the game ended. It didn't go the way I wanted it to, but let's go back at that turning point. There was no turning point, because regardless if he intentionally walks him or not, Devers is going to get on, or maybe he's not, and maybe you have two outs, but he ends up walking O'Neill. Okay. And when he walks, after walking O'Neill, now Devers scores on this next one by Yoshida, but Devers is off the base now. So he only, you know what I mean? Like, he's already scored. Abreu singles to right. You know, it's like, for me, I don't like it, because I think it's just us going back and, you know, it's like, oh yeah, well, that makes sense, because Gerrit Cole sucks against Devers, and we have to understand everything. Sometimes it's okay not to understand everything. And sometimes baseball just happens. And Gary, this is what happened. Okay. Baseball happened. I mean, you know, that's Susan, or that's baseball, Susan, you know, that whole thing. Like, that's what
that's Susan baseball.
Yeah. That's Susan baseball.
So, yeah. So realistically, what you're saying, and I think this is a great point brought up by you, is that we can't use this situation, because whether you agree or not, we can't scapegoat this situation and say, well, the reason he got shelled by Yoshida, right, and Abreu is because of this situation that happened two or three at-bats prior. No, after you make a mistake, part of the reason you're the ace is that you can turn it around and execute pitches against the next guy. And then, okay, we wipe that clean. Okay, you hit Devers with a cutter trying to work inside. I know Boston was really upset with that. But you hit him. Well, you still have to move on and execute pitches against the remaining hitters. And he did at the time. So we didn't make the excuse then. And then all of a sudden, we get to an at-bat where it seemed like Gerrit Cole looked a little weak. He intentionally walked. And when, frankly, when the Yankees have a run on the board and you're nursing a lead, you probably, in that situation, can go after Devers. This is where we say it's fluid, right? This is something that Boone talked about. If we're talking about a lead, yeah. If it's 2-2 in the top of the seventh and Devers comes up to the plate, yeah, you have an argument that he can turn the game on its head, but you're talking about a lead. In this situation, it felt like Boone, based on what he said in the post game, is that, hey, we were in the driver's seat in this game. Now's the time to attack this matchup. Yes, it's not favorable for you, but you can't just back off of every challenge that you see. And I totally agree with that. I didn't think about that, Jake. Honestly, I did look at this moment as almost an unlocking for Boston's offense. But let's be honest here. You still had to show up and rip the ball all over the yard, and they did exactly that. So Gerrit Cole, frankly, was not good today. He just wasn't.
No, I mean, he started off great, you know, those first three innings, and then the fourth inning, he does that. And now everyone's like, oh my God, after he walked him intentionally, everything went to shit. But it has to make sense. And I just don't believe that intentionally walking somebody, which, by the way, makes total sense. I agree with it. That's what I was saying he should do last night. And the last thing I'm going to do is be a hypocrite in the next day when they do exactly what I want them to do. and then it doesn't work in their favor to say, to blame the entire game on it. So I think Garrett Cole, somewhere in the middle of what we were just both talking about, is the right answer. I think it leans more towards what you were saying. I mean, clearly he lost his confidence, right? You don't just randomly get shelled like that afterwards. Maybe if you said he hit Devers there in the fourth inning and then the team picked up the pace after that and they're like, oh, you don't hit our guy. And then they just like, but it was different. I mean, they intentionally walked him. That would be, you know, that would be considered offensive in baseball, essentially doing that to Devers. And then Tyler O'Neill comes up saying next batter and he's an easier one. So that's how I look at it.
No, it makes total sense. So would you always walk Devers in that situation? Because obviously we're not talking about a sample size of 8 or 9 at bats. If that was the case, I think that we can look past this and we would say that this was more of a problem with Garrett Cole's execution. But very clearly, Rafi Devers annihilates Garrett Cole. He knows this, right? They both know this. Both dugouts know it. All the broadcasts, all the podcasts, right? We get it. Soon as Devers comes up to the plate, he essentially turns into Barry Bonds against Garrett Cole. Is what it is. So the question is, Jake, because I actually am very curious of what you think about this. Is it because in that situation, the Yankees were winning, right? There was nobody on base. There was no traffic. There was nothing was happening on the baseball field that you would consider stressful at the time. So would you consider it opportunistic to walk Devers every single time he gets into the batter's box against Cole? Every single time. That is
I would do
wild,
it every time.
And the numbers suggest you're right. They do.
Yeah, the numbers just aren't, they don't make sense, but they do actually, because what it's telling me is that, you know, and I'm sure there's one guy, you know, how, you know, everyone is like, oh yeah, you know, match made in heaven, or like, you know, like the soulmate, right? That's what people call them. Well, I believe there's at least one player for each pitcher that knows them better than anybody for whatever reason. And I think it makes a lot of sense that Rafi Devers knows Garrett Cole very well and just hammers the crap out of him. And
yeah,
you could make the argument like, oh, well, why doesn't Trevor Story? I mean, you know, why doesn't this guy? Why doesn't that guy? Well, first off, I mean, Devers has been in the league a little bit longer, you know? And so that's the thing is, like, when you look at Devers, this is a guy that's been in the league since 2017. You know, Garrett Cole hasn't been with the Yankees. I mean, when did he actually become a Yankee?
Actually,
2020.
I don't even remember. Just because of COVID. Like, COVID just kind of threw me for a loop.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 2020 sounds right. But when people ask, because people will say, well, he's had a lot of at-bats. Because to be exact, Devers has had over 40 at-bats now against Garrett Cole. There are a lot of players in baseball who have taken over 40 at-bats against Garrett Cole, in large part in division, right? That's just how that ends up working out. But having said that, you look across baseball, there is no baseball player who has as much success as Devers does. But this is where matchups come into play. That's why we love sports. Some things you just can't answer as to why they happen. For example, in my dad's career, he used to love hitting against Jamie Moyer. And Jamie Moyer played a long time in the big leagues. There was a reason he was there. It's not because he's, you know, he was a good pitcher. So my dad used to see, he'd go, hey son, can you go check who's pitching today? And then I'd go check and I'd come back to him and say, it's Jamie Moyer, right? Because there's a doubleheader. And he'd go, thank God. How many players in Major League Baseball saw him on the sheet and said, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Right? He was a good pitcher. But for my dad, for whatever reason, you just see him well. Rafael Devers just sees Garrett Cole well. It's something that both players understand. And I will say this, to your point, you can make the argument that there's no time ever to pitch to this guy unless really the Yankees are nursing a 3 or 4 run lead with nobody on base. Then you can pitch to him. And you just kind of let him hit up. You know what it actually reminds me of? Do you remember in the World Series where Barry Bonds, it was like 3-1, he had nobody on, and he just hit a homer? And I think I can't remember who it was in the dugout. It might have been Tim Salmon, and he said, that is the furthest ball I've ever seen hit. But in the moment, the broadcast covered it like, okay, he hit this home run. We just let him, essentially. They didn't want him to hit a home run, but they were like, we'll pitch to Barry Bonds. The worst thing he can do is hit a ball 500 feet, and they're still probably going to lose this game. And lo and behold, Barry Bonds turns around 96 mile an hour, you know, a 96 mile an hour fastball, hits it 500 feet into Los Angeles night. That's exactly what happened. So I don't know. I think you're right. I really do. I think it's gotten to this point down the road where there's just too much sample size where you cannot possibly justify pitching to this player. You just can't. So I don't even want to criticize Boone. The only thing I will say that could have been better on Boone's part, because post game, he said what bothered Boone here was that he felt he disagreed personally with the decision, right? And if that's the case, your manager needs to be strong enough in the dugout to get what he wants. That has to happen. So I don't have to agree with that decision, but you cannot tell me that something on the field, a decision that was made, a big decision in this game, that you just had no authority in it, that's something that shouldn't happen. And obviously, when he says there was a miscommunication, it is quite literally your job to communicate better. And he did mention that, so I want to give him credit. That's your job. Your job literally is to talk to him and have Garrett Cole have an understanding of what you're doing.
No, I absolutely agree with you. And that does stem from Aaron Boone just kind of being all over the place. And again, we could probably wrap it up there, as far as the Cole stuff. But yeah, I don't think it costs in the game. What costs in the game is this. You want my brutally honest answer? They were terrible today.
Go ahead and read that. Go ahead and read.
They were terrible. I mean, what, third inning, they look like they're going to get to something. Torres singles to right, Volpe scores, all that. And it's like nothing really happened. I mean, yeah, there were runners on base, but, you know, they left nine guys on base today, but it wasn't great. That's how I feel. I mean, Chisholm got picked off in the first inning, and I was like, first base, and I was just kind of like, yep. You know, and
Chisholm also didn't know the outs. Did you see that? Jazz Chisholm was tagging up with two outs. Now, obviously, this is about preparation. You can't make two mental mistakes in the same game. And just 2 days ago, he was backpicked going to second base when Austin Wells was not stealing third base. Okay, so we're talking about now a lot of mental mistakes. Jazz Chisholm is a very good player. He's been amazing for the Yankees. He's been excellent. But these are the type of mistakes you can't make. And obviously in a 7-1 game, mistakes like this happen. If you go watch any team in baseball, when you lose 7-1, go take a look at what that looks like around baseball. It's bad. It is ugly. And by the way, Jake, I love this new version of you after concerts. You are frisky tonight. You just get right to it. They were bad. And there's no other way to describe this performance. I think it's good to be reasonable here. Of sometimes you just show up to the yard and you are bad and no one can give you an explanation as to why.
Yeah, I mean, no pitching, you know, I at least they didn't have the two errors that Boston did, but yeah. So then you look at the pitching after Garrett Cole, and I want to answer the mailbag because I realized we didn't answer half of the mailbag. The back end of the Yankees bullpen really looks interesting. Dumeza and Hill make the postseason roster. Let's talk about that. Mesa today and Hill. So he actually asked about this yesterday, and those are the only two guys that pitched. Well, what are the odds? Mesa and Hill, 3 2/3, 4 hits, 2 strikeouts, no runs. His ERA is now down to 6.75, but it was way, way, way up there. So Hill went an inning and he had a strikeout and a walk. And I mean, when you look at the Yankees right now, they have a lot of guys. I mean, we're going to talk about it. Well, we'll just mention it now. Lou Trevino got some good update. He's getting closer. And Cody Poteet, I mean, he's really close. Boone even said it after the game. So, I mean, Gary, looking at that, looking at Mesa, looking at Hill, do you think either have a shot of making the postseason roster?
I think both do, and I'll tell you why. I'm really glad that this was asked in the mailbag. I'll tell you why. When we went out and got Leiter Jr., the entire purpose of him being on this roster was to be on the postseason roster. Now, I know a lot of you probably are wondering, how is it possible that a player that's playing at this level, they had hopes that he was going to be pitching in the postseason? Yeah, they did. And
we did.
A lot of the reason for that, we did, was because of the numbers that he was putting up in Chicago. His ERA wasn't great, but it was wildly serviceable. And he was striking guys out. Actually, there were a lot of Cubs fans that were talking very highly about him and his stuff to us when he actually came over here. So having said that, in my opinion, a lot of the reason why I think both of these pitchers have an opportunity to make this roster is in large part because Leiter Jr. is pitching his way off the roster. So there is going to be an open spot. And that's something that is, I can't say it's a good thing, because you don't want to be put into a position where guys are making your team because someone else is so bad. But the reality is the Yankees do need left-handed arms. They do. And they need guys to go out there in matchups. If you're going to have a power lefty out there, you go see a Bryce Harper. You go see a Shohei Ohtani. The Yankees need a left-handed arm to be able to throw out at those guys. Freddie Freeman. There are a lot of matchups out there in baseball that we – maybe it's not opportunistic to put these guys out there, and I don't believe it is, but it's much better than the alternative, which is throwing a Leiter Jr. or somebody else out there that we do not trust.
Absolutely agree. I think when it comes down to it, you're going to keep likely 13, 14 max in the bull. Well, you're going to start pitchers, not bullpen starters. Ugh, I don't even know what I'm saying. Pitchers. Pitchers. There we go. So all the pitchers, right, on the postseason roster, you're going to look at 13. The max, they're probably going to keep 14. I'd be shocked if they kept 15, because you can only keep 26 players. You have to be able to make sure that you have enough to field, obviously, on the hitting side. So with that said, you have seven of, say, the 13 guys already accounted for as far as being starters, right? Starting caliber players. I mean, you're talking about Clark Schmidt, you're talking about Stroman, you're talking about Poteet, you're talking about Gerrit Cole, you're talking about Luis Gil and Nestor Cortez, and there's a lot of guys, right? So those guys are locked in. All of them will make the roster, including Cody Poteet. Otherwise, they wouldn't be rushing him back, or they wouldn't be trying to get him back. So there's that.
Completely agree.
Then you have Luke Weaver, who makes it 8, and you have Jake Cousins, who makes it 9, and then you have Tommy Canley, who makes it 10. There's 3 more spots after that. Clay Holmes makes it 11. So now you only have 2 spots, and that's tough. You have to decide between Tim Hill. I mean, I'm looking at it right now. So, here's what you're looking with right now. Tim Hill, Lou Trevino, Ian Hamilton, right? It's not going to be easy. And so I guess that's really my point here, is that they can't both make the roster because there's just not enough spots. I mean, I'm probably going to lean towards, if either of them make the roster, it will be Tim Hill, who has a 1.83 ERA. I think I'm looking at that right.
With Tim Hill will be on the roster.
It's 2.3, but yeah.
That's a no-brainer. Okay.
Yeah.
But for Miza, obviously his numbers over the course of the season, macro, they're not great. So I will say this. We're talking about September baseball. Aaron Boone's going to show you who he trusts, right, in the fire. Now, yeah. If you don't see either of those two guys come out, I expect to see Hill. But if you don't see Miza at all in the fire, well, then you kind of understand that they're not going to force him on the roster and force that 14th guy to be on this postseason roster. They may go with an extra position player. So I think there's a chance, because there's a lot of ball game to be played. I know we've got like 14 games left, but that's still a lot, especially when it's high stress situations. We are going to be eyes locked on the field. We are not going to miss a single pitch. Because I know there's not going to be any concerts during the game. So Jake's not missing it. But yeah, I think they have an opportunity. I'm at least paying attention to it. I would say the guy, Miza, is the guy, right, that very well could be off the roster, and that's okay.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with that. And I like him, but I like that they stuck by him, but also Trevino they're excited about. And they got some other guys. Efros, we'll see. I think maybe he lost his role. That was kind of weird the way he lost it. He pitched really well, and then we never saw him again. That's kind of where I'm at with those guys. Moving on to tomorrow, though, because tomorrow's a new day. You got 1:35 baseball on NFL Sunday. So a lot of you will be watching this, but a lot of you will not be watching this. With that said,
I will have it pipped in the corner.
Yeah, I'm going to have all my football and my baseball. I got an iPad, plenty of screens, phone. We're good. Cutter Crawford, Carlos Rodon. We'll see who wins. Not doing prediction ever again. I jinxed this. I take full responsibility. 86 and 63 New York Yankees, 75 and 74 Red Sox. Baltimore made it back to two games because they won today, 4-2 against Detroit. Take care of business. It's that simple. It's right in front of you. But all jokes aside, hopefully the lineup doesn't suck tomorrow. I have kind of a feeling, even though it's a right-handed pitcher, that we might see Trevino. I just feel like that's just the way it's going.
Okay.
I hope I'm wrong because they need to win tomorrow. They need to win the series. You have to create more length. You have to create more distance between you and the Orioles. That's how I see it. So they have to win tomorrow. Will they win tomorrow? Never doing a prediction again for the Yankees.
Yeah, no, if you make predictions for Carlos Rodon at this point, you're a damn fool. We're hopeful. Let's be clear. We're hopeful. Yeah. And we believe in Carlos Rodon, but am I going to say he's exactly consistent? Absolutely not. Right? It's a battle. Every time you don't know who you're getting. So having said that, I'm moving on to the movie. Go Yankees. Let's go with I think we're going to go with The Lion King. And the reason for it was that the king fell today in Garrett Cole. He was bad. He just was. And Lion King's a good movie, so that's why we're going with it. So put Lion King in the comment section. If you stuck around this long, I know this is not as long of a show as we normally do, but since I'm Iron Man 1, I'm paging in from a bat cave practically with my AirPods. I mean, that's what you're hearing me from is AirPods. And we're not going to go an hour and 20 minutes and make you guys listen to me on Apple's products. They stink. So we appreciate you guys listening. And don't forget to give us some mailbags because we really enjoy the mailbags. We do. And like this video.
Oh, you just went right to it then.
Yeah, you're welcome. Look at that.
Damn.
Look at me with the outros.
How about that?
Do you want
that?
Me to do it again?
Let's do it.
Yeah, like this video.